Me?
I think so.
We're good? Missing, ready?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'd like to call the Osage Nation Congress Congressional Affairs Committee meeting to order. The time is 10 o'clock. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Bighorst.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congressman Potts.
Present.
Congressman Tillman.
Here. We have a quorum. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Mr. Zong, would you render us a morning prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day, bringing us together. We ask that you please touch each and every one of us, look after our troops deployed. Lord Father, please guide us through this meeting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you. So I'd like to give congratulations to Congressman Grandpa Bighorst, New Osage, in the, on this, on Mother Earth today. That's a wonderful news. Congratulations,
thank
sir.
You, sir.
Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes. Maybe we'll take a few minutes to go over those, the minutes from August the 14th.
Motion to approve minutes.
Second. Motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Those opposed say no. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is legislative chambers update. I have asked Assistant Principal Chief Raymond Redcorn if he would come down and brief us on some ideas that executive branch is considering. Chief, if you wouldn't mind, join us. Mr. Zahn, if you'd like to join us as well, please. In the spirit of cooperation, as we say.
I approach the bench.
Yes, you may. So we have been discussing, and we'll get into some of the work construction that's going on across this west wall. We'll get an update from Ms. Walker, who's here every day, communicates with them, and then there's some other things that we need to discuss about the floors upstairs. I talked to Assistant Principal Chief, and he had some ideas that are being generated, which is good, and I think he's going to give us somewhat of an update as he gave you the other day. So,
well, first, allow me to give the disclaimer that we do not tell Congress where to go, where to live, and nor shall we. I think what I'm here to ascertain from this committee first and foremost is some indication that of what you want to do. I've heard, we've heard a lot of things. There's been a lot of talk, but not a lot of action. Some of the talk includes, going to the fourth floor. Some of the talk includes going back up on the hill. Very little, if any, of the talk includes the status quote. So I think any comments I make today are under an assumption that I draw from my conversations with the chair that perhaps the hill is where Congress wants to be. I think this would be a good time to hear alternate views to that, if any exist on this committee, so I'm clear as to what the general intent of the committee, this committee representing the Congress, is.
What we have discussed in the committee, and I think reflected in some minutes dated back, we can look that up, but we had discussed and we had all agreed about the tremendous opportunity that the First National Capitol Building offers for economic development. And we go back to the time when we requested to come here to get out of the situation that we had up on the hill. And so we came here always with knowing that we felt this was a temporary location for the legislative branch. And here we sit, we're going on, I think, year two. And of course, we feel that it's an adequate place for us. We had discussions, and I think the appropriations of some monies for the fourth floor for us to move up there. And we've all been up there, Raymond and Jason, and we've walked around. And beautiful views, you know, nice big offices or hotel rooms, however you want to look at that. And then the money appropriated to go up there and fix that floor to make it to where Congress can have offices, and we could have a place to hold session chambers. And still yet, that putting of chambers up there seemed to be a little rough. Seemed to be a lot of discussion, and getting people up there, if you had a topic on the agenda that generated, as has happened, getting people up there safely, and getting them up there comfortably, and having restrooms and facilities, and $1 million is what we're looking at, what we have to go up there and fix that. And so we discussed here at the committee, correct me if I'm wrong, but we thought, let's just take that and go up, find a piece of land. We went up and rode around, a couple of the board members and congresspeople, and it seems like there's space, several options for us to go and build a building and get up there close to where everybody else is. It seemed a little bit displaced, but that seems to me to be an option other than going up here and let's do something economic development wise here, which frees this up for us. And that's what the committee felt in a couple of meetings ago that we discussed that.
So okay.
Kind of that's where we are.
Here. All right. Very good.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. It's much appreciated. The two things I think we can, three actually, that we may want to talk about today, and I think we can cover them all briefly. I know you've got a lot of pressing business for today's
Take
meeting.
Take your time.
Okay. The first would be, what is the square footage desired by Congress? Now, there's, you know, we could have conversations about, well, you know, was what was available in terms of meeting space and office space when you were in the old admin building up there built in the 70s. You know, is that still an adequate number? Do you desire more? Do you desire more partitions perhaps? You know, what does that look like? So the first thing that the executive branch would need to begin a serious cooperation would be that square footage number of meeting space and office space that Congress feels like it needs.
And that's a good comment. And I think we would have to possibly get with some designers and kind of get some input from some of those folks. But as you and I have even discussed and other congressional members here, when we were up in the old congressional chambers, and even here, there is no privacy at all whatsoever. And we have those moments with discussions from board members, constituents, whoever it may be. And you go into an office, everybody hears what you're saying. And we need to correct that, because there are times when you have to have some confidentiality. And that difficulty, even when we were up there, it was non-existent.
Understood.
And so that's very important for us, too, to be able, I feel, to have each congressional member have an office that they can go into, shut the door, and have a conversation. And then as far as the regular chambers, the square footage is something that we'll have to work on and get some quotes from the people that come in, architects, engineers, whoever that would be.
Well, that brings me directly to the second point.
Yes, sir.
And that is a suggestion. And that's all it is. But let me make sure I'm on the right page. Didn't Congress appropriate a sum of $400,000 to the effort to develop the fourth floor when that was a target? Is it possible for Congress to repurpose that appropriation for architectural and engineering studies, which would of course include the consultation that you just mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility to get the ball rolling?
No, it is not. Okay. It would require an act of Congress, literally.
I think
to change
an act of this Congress.
Yes,
that's my question. Is it, wouldn't it require?
Yes.
legislation. No, that's, when I said repurpose, that's exactly what I was envisioning.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, there's, Mr. Gill, there's two pots of money that have been designated for the fourth floor, which the total sum is?
$900,000.
And some change.
Yeah.
And that's the money that we wanted to use, try to get.
Is that set aside already?
Congressman Potts.
There were two pots of money. One was appropriated to the Capital Asset Improvement Fund, and one was appropriated to the legislative branch. So the status of both of those, I haven't tracked since I left as budget analyst. I know that roughly $100,000, maybe, is being utilized over here for renovations to the building already. So around $900 and change, minus whatever's already been spent, out of one of those pots, I believe that's coming from the Capital Asset Improvement Fund.
So the one that was originally for, to the legislative branch was two different amounts. It was $400,000 for future improvements, $88,000 for renovations to the current facility. So in all, it was like $988,000.
Right.
A few hundred dollars.
Okay.
Was there a fiscal year limitation on that bill, or was it exempt?
I don't believe so. I think it was not subject to fiscal year limitations.
I wouldn't anticipate that it would be, but someone probably should check.
I believe there was a clause in there where it's not subject to fiscal year limitations.
So that brings me to my third point, third and final point. It would seem prudent that in these discussions, and as we all go forward, that we consult the campus master plan. It's there for a reason. It is exactly that. It's a plan. It's subject to change. Mm-hmm. But we at least would have some clue. This, and other than those first two office buildings that were placed up there, this may be the third, well, I'm sorry, it would not be the third. We need to include the roads department down there. That was done according to that plan. So this would seem to be the next installment of that plan. If memory serves, there is a space up there on what was kind of broadly interpreted to be a future mall of government offices, including the two that have already been built. I'm not saying let's strictly follow the plan. I'm not saying let's ditch it. I certainly think it'd be wise to consult it. If for no other reasons, because certain geothermal installations were made up there with that long-term development in mind, and also, if memory serves, those fields could serve, those geothermal assets could serve anything that Congress would put up there, provided it's put in a place that those fields were originally installed to serve.
Did the addition of the war memorial for the veterans, was that part of one of the phases in the campus master plan? Is that?
If you made me guess, I would say probably not. But I speak without knowing. I do not know whether that plan, or whether the construction of that monument consulted the master plan or not.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Congressman Mason.
Of course, that memorial doesn't need the geothermal fields either.
Right.
Sorry.
I want to reflect back a bit to our humble beginnings in 2006. I remember, and perhaps we remember, the beginnings. And when we had no home, it's like now, we feel a little homeless. We don't have a home. We don't have this. And this is one of the reasons, as I remember in our conversations here, that we indeed felt like it was time to declare, let's declare a place, find a place for this Congress
to have its own building, its own place, if you will. And as you ask about the square footage, I know from, I feel from your experience being in building and so forth, that square footage is an important thing. That's how you determine dollars and cents, how much commercial square footage is, how much it costs anybody, and you figure your plan on that. To answer your question, no, we haven't gone any place further than the dream of having Congress in a building up on the hill, someplace. But we want to make our dream come true, as we all know Indians like to dream first and then make it happen. So we've dreamed, had a dream, and now we're getting ready to make it happen, whether it's this Congress or the next Congress or that. But we want to have a place, a home for the Congress. As I look and think about that and where to go, we also talked about the efficiency of the thermal piping and mining we all did up there, looking at the new facilities up there. We're aware that it's not all that, some of it doesn't work. So we were saying, well, okay, we don't need to really be in that field necessarily. We'd just be in a building, put on, you know, central air like lots of other places and be happy with it. Construct something for X number of dollars and be happy. For us as Congress, as you well remember, being the speaker yourself, we need an area to conduct our business, as well as a gallery, an area for gallery, and electronics so we can get our word out, people can hear us or see us or have our programs. We need our offices, and we need offices for our staff and any kind of increase or grow some, perhaps we will someday. I remember in 2006, in that very beginning, you know, there was a 25-year plan developed by Chief Gray, as we well remember that. Now there's phase one, phase two, and phase three, and some buildings that was going down in those three phases. Congress wasn't we didn't appear until phase three. Our building wasn't supposed to be built for Congress until phase three in that 25-year plan. When you speak of the master plan that we have now, I'm still trying to decide how different is that master plan than that initial 25-year plan? And where is, and I'm one that with every day and get just a little bit older, I hit that great-grandparent and elder side and get parking and stickers that says I'm an elder, and I get to think, you know, I may not make it to phase three. So I'm kind of anxious to get to phase two somewhere in here and get us a building built so I can appreciate it after all these years. And if not me, the Congress people after me. There'll be other people that sit here in Congress and take care of our business. But I'd like for them to have a place of business, if you will, that will be theirs. And as I look at the layout in Washington, D.C., and I see the center and the hub, and who's at that hub is the legislation, the Senate, and House of Representatives up there, and then the White House is down Pennsylvania Avenue. That place is different than up there. So, yeah, we don't have to attach to necessarily executive. We never have been, you know, and that's okay. We just want to be up on the hill. We just want to be close by on the hill so we can walk in the common area under a tree or something and talk and discuss, that kind of thing. But not be too far away and just keep everything up on the hill. What you do with this building, you do with this building. But we don't need to be in it when you do it. And we got to thinking, too, that if we were to develop the fourth floor and then have to move again, somebody gets the fourth floor, our dollar. Why don't we spend our dollar on us and build us something?
Thank you, Congressman Mason.
Yeah, gosh, you know,
and I think, too, it's, you know, as we sit here, as we all know, just
economic development opportunities with this facility. As long as we're here, there's nothing being accomplished in that area, and I think there's some ideas that are floating around, numerous ideas. So I think it's a message to the Osage people that, hey, now we're really thinking about doing something here other than having a temporary place for Congress, having office spaces for the ones that are upstairs. So, but if you'd like to, this time, if you want to go in that direction of discussing maybe what you shared with me, if not, I understand.
Help me.
OSU.
That is still very much in the ephemeral stage. One set of serious conversations to be followed by some presentations that we actually thought might have happened by now. We're still waiting for that. We still anticipate that that's going to happen. Included in those conversations were talk of operating a restaurant here that would be managed by some of OU's tourism and
OU
or OSU. A thousand pardons, Mr. Tillman. OSU, and they have two efforts that they were going to, or two assets they were going to bring to bear on this. One was their tourism hospitality school, and the other one was their culinary school down at OSU IT. But again, it was all very conceptual, but they felt confident that they could put some meat on those bones and give us a timetable and some specifics we could sink our teeth into. We just haven't seen those yet. We have every indication that they're forthcoming. We know who will present them. It's just we don't have a date yet to hear
but,
that.
But I think it's...
Let me continue. In a larger sense, I think there are members of Congress who have heard me say this over and over. Owning the most prime piece of real estate in proximity to that enterprise does beg the question of why you conduct government business there instead of retail business. And that's just plain as the day is long. So, and it just goes right along with everything else that we're talking about. So I don't want to flog that horse. I actually think it's self-evident.
Yes. And I think it's one of the most beautiful buildings in the country.
It is.
I really like that. So the message to the constituent, we would like to move out of here in a timely manner. We can't go anywhere until we have construction. We have a building in place to move to. So that further delays, or maybe doesn't delay, I'm not sure, but that time that for the construction, all the planning, and hey, is it in phase three? Is it in geothermal? Here, I don't want to get bogged down. Just make a move.
And I think the very first move is legislative, and I think it's on the Congress's part to repurpose that legislation, if indeed that, and it sounds exactly like that's what Congress's intent is. So we fortunately have a session upon us. Doesn't seem like much of a heavy lift from where I sit, but I'm not the Congress. It's up to you to repurpose that money if that's what you want to do. As soon as that's done, I think the door's wide open to beginning to contact, put out some RFPs for the architectural engineering piece, and we're on our way. There's ample time during that process of beginning to explore the possibilities up on the hill while consulting the master plan, at least on a consulting basis. And we're happy to work with you.
I appreciate that.
Well, that's what we pledged during the inauguration speech, and I intend to live up to it.
Thank you very, very much. Anything else, committee? Our assistant chief is here. Welcome, Mr. Zahn. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you so much for coming.
We have more business.
Did you have something else?
It's later on the agenda. We're talking about inauguration.
What?
What is this, a Trump campaign?
Besides the crowd.
Wake up out of the green. Thanks for the prayer.
Very good. Thank you, appreciate it.
Okay, and as I promised the clerk, Shanna Walker, she would give us a update a little bit of what's, you know, going on next door, and I think there's an email from Congresswoman Edwards that I should read and we should discuss. I want to take a lot of time with it, but if you could.
Right now, what's happening next door, we have no power next door. They are moving the electric box to make sure that everything is up to code with the addition of the bathroom in the back part of the building. They have floated the floor in the front part of the building to try and level it up and smooth it out to be able to lay the floor. They will continue and work their way back and to do each of the other rooms and get them ready for carpeting and stuff as well. They should have the electric back on at the end of the day, by the end of the day today, so it's just a temporary bug that we're dealing with, but yes, sir.
Do we need to move our stuff out of there while they're constructing, or
everything's been moved with, everything's been moved with the exception of the break room, and once they get the carpet laid to the break room door, we'll move everything from the break room out so they can finish it up.
And they've covered whatever they need to cover.
Right. They've finished the painting with just a few touch-ups here and there that need to be done in the front four rooms, and they have put the trim work up and the crown molding up. Once they get the floor done, they'll put the baseboards in, but the baseboards have all been stained and are ready to be installed. They've got all the new lighting in, and when you turn on the lights, it's very bright. You can definitely see. And they're progressing at a fairly quick pace, so.
Heat and air is adequate.
They've had the heat and air guy came at the very beginning of the construction and made sure all the ductwork was in line with code and checked the heat and air unit, got everything ready, so it's all good.
Is there just one master switch for all of this heat and air temperature, or is there several?
That side over there has its own unit because it's a separate building. Long time ago, it was the Irby Drugstore, so it was completely separate from the bank. And then when Irby Drugstore shut down, the bank purchased that as to be part of their facility. So, that's a completely separate unit, and there's two or three units that we have a control on this side for a unit, we have a control on this side for a unit, there's control in the back, and then all the floors have controls as well. So there's multiple units for this building.
Just don't ever be absent, because I don't know where they are.
Thank you for that update. And what happened of the situation this committee was placed in was, I think the scope of work and the money and everything was approved in the 5th Congress Congressional Affairs Committee. And after the election, all of that changed. And it landed on this committee's, on our agenda, the 606 Nation Congress. And now we have different members. The second speaker is now, you know, is myself, or it was Ms. Congresswoman Goodfox. And there was work and scopes of work that were determined by that committee. And then the transition to come to this committee were presented with, okay, here's the work that needs to be done. They were ready to start work, and the big issue was being able to start on time so we wouldn't be interfering with our session. So having said that, I was presented with the options of, what was it, tile, paint, toppings, or whatever, countertops, and options, and I think we all saw those. And
Then a week went by, I remember sending out some, waiting to hear back from the people, and I told him, this is not what I do, this, I'm not good at picking out paint and tile and floor and carpet, and so, but the work needs to be done, and I think their original scope of work, they're still on that path, it's just that now they have trim, they have stain, they have carpet, they have the things that I picked up. And I did get some approval from some folks that said, yeah, that looks fine. That all fell on me. Go to work, let's get it done, and then when session starts, we won't have to be burdened. We can fully use the offices across the wall. And I spoke with the contractor, I'm not going to call his name out, and I spoke with him. I said, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing from the original? Thought everything was how it was supposed to be going. And this committee agreed that we should just continue, let's get it done. And regardless of this is going to be our home, whoever moves in here, that's going to be their offices over there. We pay for it. So that's a 70, and it sounds like we're not going to be here for the long term.
I'm there.
Yes, sir.
I just, you know, I want to thank you for letting Assistant Chief know that this is not going to work. It's not adequate.
And the price tag, I think, existed what we're spending across $76,714. It's going to have to be done anyway. And so I'm for getting that done so we can finish our work here and move to a new home. I want to do that before Congressman Mason decides to not get reelected.
And we did discuss.
Sound okay? Yeah. And we did this, just go ahead.
Yeah, we did discuss the master campus plan and going up on the hill. And I mean, it's not going to fit because of the geothermal, I don't think now. I mean, from what we were looking at, just, you know, it's going to be probably in a different spot, but the geothermal has been a nightmare.
Pain. It's had some issues. So, but anyway, having said that, I don't know. Congresswoman Edwards sent some emails, and I guess wanted to reconfirm that the scope of work was still being completed. But when it came to our committee, we made decisions, and now we're moving on. As far as what I'm doing. So, is there any Congressman Fox?
Not to belabor this, but from my understanding from communication with Congressman Edwards, the scope of work that is being executed is not what was approved by congressional affairs. At least that's the statement.
Last part of this.
The previous the one that approved the scope of work that we're executing. Is that the case? From email communication, my understanding is that scope of work should have been amended, was received by the executive branch, was acknowledged by the executive branch, but updates to the scope of work were not made. Is that correct?
I am not. Mr. Gill.
So far, what I have figured out is that I asked Tammy Leeper if she had an email from, what happened was Congressional Affairs met, said, oh, they discussed some changes, but apparently they didn't write them down. So at the time, Second Speaker Good Fox asked Congresswoman Edwards to send her the changes that were discussed, because they were mainly changes that Congresswoman Edwards had proposed during the meeting. She said that Congresswoman Edwards did send her an email with some proposed changes in there. And she forwarded it on to the executive. I asked Tammy Leeper if she ever received that email. Tammy said, no, I did not. I have not received that email, but it may have gone to TDOA. I will forward this information off to them and ask them to respond to you. Up to this point, they still have not responded to. So it appears that there, you know, was an intent by Congressional Affairs to have some changes made. Probably didn't get incorporated into the scope of work prior to the work starting. So TDLA is where we're at right now to find out. We just need to hear from them.
Okay.
if they receive such an email.
Thank you. Congressman Potts.
I agree. A very similar chain of events is what's been described to me, but I believe this email dated August 8th says that action was taken on April 17th, 2018 regarding these changes. And you, being Mr. Smith, acknowledged your seat on April 18th. So Ross Smith of Tribal Development acknowledged the receipt of the changes on April 18th, and changes were not made to the scope of work. So I don't fault this committee at all in executing the scope of work that was approved. From my understanding, and please advise if I'm wrong, the scope of work that was approved is not the scope of work that the last Congressional Affairs Committee intended to be approved per action taken on April 7th.
None of those folks have been here to advise us and guide us. And so even the money we're spending over there, $76,000, we could go back in hindsight. We should have never even done anything anyway. We're going to move out of here.
That's right.
So I just want them to finish it, be done with it, and let's move on. Congressman Potts.
I understand. You have one member that is trying to advise you, not here, but you do have one member of this body that was a member of the previous Congressional Affairs, I believe. Mr. Mason was too. You were not on Congressional Affairs? Okay. My apologies. But you have action taken by Congressional Affairs on April 17th that suggested change orders. They were sent to the executive branch. The executive branch received and acknowledged them, but the changes weren't made.
And they're already halfway into it, maybe three quarters of the way into it. So to go back and reverse that, they're going to have to take things out, rip stuff up, and that's ridiculous.
I understand.
So this committee can make, when it passes to us, and by the law, what I read is second speaker duties is managing these chambers. I'm for if it's okay with this, just continue on. Because if we reverse and go back, all during session, we're going to hear banging and pounding and hammering, and need to turn the electricity off maybe, or Congressman Bill.
Probably any change orders are going in after the construction house.
Doubtless. So, Congressman Mason.
All this is happening on our watch. This committee,
yes, sir.
This time, this session, it could happen prior. But the thing is that the new Congress took over. New positions, new seats, new people. Brand new. Things can change. Things can be altered. So this is our watch. This is our call right now. Whatever we're going to do today on, what happened yesterday and the day before is already done. Things are happening. But right now, we need to make the decision in some direction as a committee, as a new Congress, what we're going to do. Some of the things that Assistant Chief said right on the money. So we as a Congress are going to have to write up a law, and the ones that were previously set aside and written up have to go away with a new law, with this new money that is going to direct us to go to this place. And that has to happen. Mm-hmm. Same thing as what we're doing in here. How much of the new stuff are we going to continue to pay for and get done? And when do we stop? That's it. We're done. Stop here. And we're here temporarily until we find something more.
Would it be right at this time to entertain a motion for Congressional Affairs to allow whatever path they're on, whether scope of work they're on, just to continue?
Before we go that direction, I would feel comfortable to know where we are next door and just what more needs to be done. Just to determine what that is.
I think it was last week, Congressman Hillman and I were looking at the scope of work, and there was a little change in there, but is that the scope of work that we want them to follow and that they're working off of right now?
So I might be able, that's the issue. There was a scope of work that was referenced on April 17th. Direction was given by Second Speaker Goodbox at the time to move forward per the email that suggested those changes. That email was accepted and received on April 19th, but by that action, the executive branch did not make the changes to the scope. So the fault would go back to the changes not being made on the side of the executive branch who executed the scope of work because it was from the capital asset. So to me, the question is, and I understand Second Speaker wanting to move forward. I believe we're moving forward. We're ready to go. I believe the motion that I would entertain or that I would suggest, if anybody's willing, is do we go back to what the previous Congressional Affairs Committee approved? Because according to emails, the scope of work that's being executed is not what was approved by Congressional Affairs at or around April 8th.
That was my question. Can we go back to that original scope of work?
Congressman, can I? Do we have access to actually see on his paper what is the scope of work?
What they're following right now, currently? Yeah. And that's my question.
Where is that?
Why can't we just make a motion?
Whatever scope of work they're following right now, just let them continue and finish.
I mean, if we go back, my fear is they're going to be working. We're not going to have electricity back there, my break room. We're not going to have, we'll have one bathroom. This one won't work. So whatever they're following right now, continue on to finish it.
Do you have that sheet of paper that we were looking at that had, because I think that's what Congress Masons want to
I think it's
at.
In one of these.
Congressman Fox, did you have it? I agree. I'm ready to move forward.
Yeah.
I believe, and I'm not looking at the fact that I believe the changes are adding carpet that matches the carpet that's going in over here, potentially, that goes to the second floor.
Well,
so there are changes that could potentially not have to be made until after session is done. Now, yes, that's going to cost more money. Yes, that's going to extend work. Yes, you're going to have construction going on during, so I mean, yes to all of those things. But the question is, do we go back to what the previous Congressional Affairs Committee intended to be our starting point? That's the biggest question. That's all I'm trying to ask. Because what's being executed is not what they approved. Are we moving forward with what we're on right now, even though that wasn't approved by the previous Congressional Affairs Committee? That's the question we've got to answer. But it is worth noting, in my opinion, you have a member of this body, a member of Congressional Affairs, that has great detail.
Congressman Mason.
I was just going to ask, I know we've got emails, but where's the paper trail of what we've been doing, where we are now? Okay, that goes back to the scope of work, or is there a paper trail? That's a good question.
They have to be, we would hope, next door, the construction, they have to be on some sort of plan. They have to be on some scope of work that they're on right now. Mr. Gill.
There is a paper trail. It began, I want to say, after last fall's session. And we started out with trying to come up with our own scope of work. Congressional Affairs met several times. We've been successful in that endeavor. And then the TDLA director, Bruce Cass, came in and made some suggestions at a committee meeting, and then the Congressional Affairs, either at that meeting or the next one, turned it over to TDLA to create the scope of work for us, taking into account the suggestions that Congressional Affairs had made, which ended up being, after some negotiations of whether we're going to have bathrooms, where the bathrooms are going to be, things like that, we came up with that scope of work that you have probably in front of you, and then what Congressman Potts is talking about were the few changes that were discussed during a Congressional Affairs Committee meeting after that scope of work was presented to the Congress and reviewed over probably at least a 30-day period.
Mr. Gill, would you agree that they are on some plan over there now, the scope of work that they're doing, they're operating by?
It appears to me that they're on the scope of work that was last presented to the Congress before Congress suggested any changes that were presented through those emails.
So they do have, they're on?
They are on a scope of work, yes.
Okay, Congresswoman Stolten.
There'll be a project manager in TDLA who, at this point, should be giving weekly updates to whoever's on their list to give weekly updates to, whether it's to executive or to the spotter. But they will be following the scope of work, and there is someone to answer to the work that's going on. So my suggestion to this committee is to contact TDLA and ask them for a meeting update on the budget.
Congressman Potts.
We have that document. It's delivered to the Congress. Regardless, they're working. They're full steam ahead on a scope of work. The question to this body is, do we go back to the original scope of work that should have been approved by this committee? Because action was taken to approve the scope of work that is not the scope of work that they're executing right now. Yes, they have one. They're moving forward on it. We're good to go. But
I'm aware that some of the changes on the adjusted scope of work have been incorporated, just not all of them. That's what I'm doing. I'm for whatever they're doing to get it done. It's,
well, and then going back to what Congressman Potts just was just speaking to, did executive sign off on those changes?
Executive, per email, you acknowledged receipt on April 18th, as per below, and said that you would be scoping the document for bid. So the executive branch acknowledged, Ross Smith acknowledged that, yes, we received them. Yes, the intent was to change it, but it never got done. So, no, changes were not made in accordance with the action taken by Congressional Affairs, but they should have been. So, should we be operating off of the different scope of work? Yes, but that failed. So the question now is, do we go back? That's all I'm trying to ask.
Congressman.
To me, that's the only option we do have.
To go
unless
back?
Unless we intend on spending more money.
Congressman Nelson.
I'm a little bit confused. But, you know, if we alter the scope of work, going back to what Congresswoman Staver said, does that cause a change order to happen? Does that cost us money? If we go back to where are we in money-wise now? I don't know.
Congressman Potts.
Yes, it would absolutely cause a change order. It would cost more money.
More time.
All of those things. I believe right now we're at $76,000 of total cost,
and we're moving out.
And I don't know what the final total cost would be.
Congresswoman Wyborn.
Of course, I don't want to go backwards on anything that they've done, do any tear out or anything like that. My question is, can you name two, three things that are in that scope of work that can be additional things and put it before this committee for them to decide if they think that those things are necessary? To me, that would be the place to start instead of going backwards, to try to incorporate what you can and put it here on this table and make sure if this body wants to include those things that were in that scope of work that did not get submitted into the scope that's now being followed. That would be my question, because I don't think there's any going backward, but we can move forward if there's other things within there.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Chair. I am with Congressman Mason, and we're talking about scope this, scope that. I think that I would have a lot more clarity if we called it scope A or scope B, or numbered it, or gave it some type of delineation. And so my only question I have is, because I'm confused. The work that's being done right now is the scope that was approved in April, or the scope that was approved in July of 17. Whatever you guys had this, whenever the newest, the A or the B. So can A be the scope of work from April?
Yes.
And then can the new scope be B? Just so that there's understanding.
Sure.
So what
yes.
scope of work are they on?
A.
Thank you. So they're doing A. They're doing what went back. They're just doing the original plan.
Which was approved by CA, but not the most recent.
Which was the last CA, and this is the new CA. And as the law says, this committee and the second speaker have the ability and the responsibility. They'll be through. That's what I want to prove. Now, if we wait and go back and tear down and add more money, and I'd rather continue on the path here on so they would get completed by the first day of Congress and we won't be involved with prime construction. Those are people walking in and out of the facility. And to me, that's my responsibility. But I have to have you come to this committee. So, but I'll do whatever you all want. I mean, if you want to go back and wait, I'm red in the face talking about this. $75,000 project. Mm-hmm. So I'm for keeping them, me, I'm for keeping them on track with what they're doing now so they'll be through in session. That's what I am. Does that need to be a motion? Should we take a vote?
I think it cannot be a motion. I'll make a motion. Important to listen to what I'm saying. I think it cannot be a motion if that's the intent of this body. So I'll make a motion to direct the second speaker to direct the executive branch to utilize the scope of work approved in August of 2018 and acknowledged by Mr. Ross Smith.
Someone second for discussion.
Second.
For discussion. Is that scope B?
Yes. So that would be directing you to that would be directing
not
you
what I want, but this committee can
that would be directing you to direct the executive branch, because they are the ones that are charged with this anyway. Mm-hmm. To direct them to execute the scope approved or acknowledged in April 2018.
If I may, that's, I repeat again, here we go. That's not what I wanted. I just wanted to stay on the original. That's what they're on right now currently. They've done some of the scope changes, I guess. I mean, this is a debacle. And Congressman Bickworth, please.
Mr. Gill, is there a path that we can move forward without disrupting a former Congressional Affairs member or repercussions from that person?
I can't control the opinions, actions of a member of Congress. You understand that?
I understand.
So, I think you guys have identified the two paths forward. You either stay with the scope of work that you're currently on, or you go with the scope of work that Congressman Potts has made the motion to direct the second speaker to have the executive branch move forward with. So.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. There's a motion on the floor. We're in discussion. Congressman Mason.
I just a quote of a former Congressman Supernov, 2006-2007. So, conversation we had at the pink. And so one of the things that we need to think about adding a clause at the end of anything that we move on is it good for the nation? What we decide upon at this moment, is it good for the nation? And we're spending some money, the nation's money, to this building, Wallace Building Mission, ultimately, is this, whether we're here or not, is what's going on, is that good for the nation? Always think about it. The other part is that politician a long time ago almost said, never in doubt, vote coming up, just vote no. You're in doubt, you're confused, just vote no, rather than vote yes for something that you're unsure of. That's your heart speaking, and that's why people elect us in these positions. Right now, I'm still a little bit confused as to A or B, or what ultimately that we're using the money, the nation's money to pay for, what we're going to get out of it, what are we getting? It's going to be functional, it's going to assist us as Congress. This is our temporary housing here. Make it better for us to function for the next number of months and years before we move out. And it could be utilized. After we're gone, it's still going to be used by the nation for something, for sure. That part, I want to think I'm comfortable with. But the other part, whether it's A or B, I'm still uncomfortable with. And I'm just expressing my opinion.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And they're on something. They're back there doing something. Money's being spent. Money has been spent. And they're going to be through in 2 weeks. That's plan A. That's what they're on right now. That's where they are. They'll be through. All done. We can function. We wait and go with what the motion on the floor is, Congressman Potts. Our staff will still be here in their cages, the teller cages. And our intent, I know, is to have a place for them to go, to work. And that work will be done if we stay on what their scope of work they're on now, which is scope A. Yes, Congressman Fox.
I understand the point made by the chair. I do believe my desire for this to be complete cannot be overstated. As an employee who sat in the cage for a year, I'm ready to be done. But I do believe the actions taken by the previous Congressional Affairs Committee do need to be acknowledged, or at least given deference in moving forward. That's why I made the motion. I'll be voting yes on the motion because I believe what we do here at this table matters, and it matters for years to come.
Congressman Lloyd, were you through? I'm sorry.
Just an action was taken to get to the option B, and that's not what's being executed.
Congressman Lloyd.
Well, if the work's going to be finished first day of session, our staff is not going to have the ability to get moved into an office and conduct session. Our staff is going to be in the cage for this session. That's just reality. So, no, it's not reality. You are going to be able to move out of the cage while session's going on.
Yes.
The way they have done the work, the front rooms where the office space is going to be located and where the workroom space is going to be located will be completed before the break room.
Okay. Thank you for that. Okay. Appreciate it.
Congressman Big Horse, did you have nothing? Okay, so there's a motion and a second for discussion on the floor. Congressman Potts, would you restate your motion and have a roll call vote, please?
Motion to direct the second speaker to direct the executive branch to utilize the scope of work acknowledged in April 2018.
Congressman Big Horse.
No.
Congressman Mason.
No.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
No. Motion fails. Now we're back to where we are. Chair would entertain a motion to continue on.
So moved. Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Mason.
Discussion. My fault.
I'm
discussion.
Acknowledge before I cast my vote on this, acknowledge that the previous CA was, that last session was a session before the CA was.
Yes, sir.
all set with, certainly with good intention, because they are congressional affairs. That's in-house stuff that we do to CA, and they make their best decisions as a group on behalf of our 12-member Congress. Just want to be honest.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd second, someone move that motion much too quickly, I believe. You might need to state to fruition what your motion was. I believe it's to move forward with...
Move forward with the path that they're currently on, so it can be completed by the beginning of the session. Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congressman Bickhorst.
Yes.
Congressman Thomas.
Yes. Motion passes. Okay. Thank you, committee. The next item on the agenda is payables. We have a payable here that is due to Lyons and Clark for legal services rendered. The amount of this payable is $1,141. Congressman Potts.
Bill, motion to approve. For discussion, but motion to approve payable to Lyons Clark Inc. in the amount of $1,141.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Congressman Fox.
Have we dismissed this yet? What's the status of the case? We're now paying bills for something that we claim 60 days overdue. Got it.
This is a different case than what you're thinking.
Congressman Potts.
I don't believe it's a different case. I believe
this is standing bear.
I believe it's the same case.
Okay.
I believe Jeffrey M. Standing Bear was added to that case, so it is the same case. So, from my understanding, if I may continue, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
We're continuing on, or at least not continuing on, we're now paying a 60-day past due bill for a case that we're starting to move forward with?
Mr. Gill?
The clerk is correct. This was the Supreme Court case that Mr. Lyons represented us in. I believe that they did have an interest charged to this bill, which they have waived. It automatically gets put on there through their payable system, through their invoicing system. So the amount we're paying is the original amount of the bill. And this is, you know, a bill that didn't get sent out for a very long time after the Standing Bear versus Pratt Supreme Court case. The separate case is the Nowlin case. That's the second case that we've been discussing so much lately. That one, the status of that case, one, Chief has not been officially added to that case. The court ordered us to add him by petition. We intended to move forward. That has not happened because of the motion to dismiss. I inquired about where we were just recently with Lyons and Clark. They said that they have filed their motion to dismiss, that opposing counsel has filed their motion to dismiss, but that the court has not made any movement on the actual order to dismiss.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. And Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Gill, for the clarification. If I may direct your question to the chair, then this would appear to be the second set of bills that's past due.
I believe so.
The first set being Pratt versus Nowlin, and the second set being Pratt versus Standing Bear. Do we have an update on when the first set of billing was delivered? My line of questioning is, why do we have past due bills?
I think I can attempt to answer that. There was a long gap between invoices coming in. We didn't receive between September, I believe it was September 9th, 2017, and July of 2018, we did not receive any invoices from Lyons and Clark. That was because of them. when they send their invoices out. They have an automated invoicing system. When it kicks out, it says however many days overdue. So they might actually create an invoice, but when they send it out, when it gets kicked out through the system, it's telling us we're overdue. Now, there was a delay on our end as well of about a month, and that is partly my fault because I made the assumption that Lyons & Clark was copying our clerks on the invoices. So I was simply reviewing them, and then I was going to allow them to go to CA. It came to my attention that that was not the case, that I needed to forward them on to the clerk, because Lyons & Clark was not. They were only sending them to me and the speaker. So I feel like that's my responsibility. I should have clarified that with them. And if it had gone to the clerks, you know, if I had forwarded onto the clerks or if they had copied the clerks, you would have seen it in a timely manner. We have talked to Mark Lyons about interest charges, and he has agreed to waive those.
Thank you, Mr. Gill, for the clarification. And if I may ask legislative analyst, this is a bill that is due and we need to pay it, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so can we go back and get a motion? Okay, motion on the floor. Second, we have discussion. All those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Next, on the agenda, Chair would entertain a motion to recess for 5 minutes.
So moved.
Second. Those in favor say yes?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. We'll recess for 5 minutes.
Principal Jets is open.
I think it's that one out there.
Important information.